Good morning all, and welcome to this service of Laindon Baptist Church. We'll start the meeting with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being persistent, Lord, for being there always, for your love and for your guidance. We thank you for bringing us here in health this morning, and pray for everybody who listens to this, either in church or at home, that you will bless them, Lord, and fill them with your spirit. Amen. I'd like to share with you today a short Bible reading. It's taken from Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, the peace will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The birth of the Messiah was prophesied many times in the Old Testament. Even in the times of Isaiah, as we have just read, the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. This passage is a prophecy fulfilled in the person and mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfilment of hope. He brings peace and comfort to all who need it. Jesus is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We are all fortunate in that we don't have to wait for a Messiah. All we have to do is ask Jesus into our lives and to forgive our sins. And once we've done this, our hope for a Saviour will be complete. We're now going to sing our first hymn, which is All Heaven Declares.
Yeah.
Bible reading today is from Luke 2, verses 22 to 40, which we read by Keith.
The reading's taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
The second hymn today is "Lord is the Light of the World," and Jesus is that light of the world for us.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made his heart adore you, all of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glories in heaven above. Only you came to the earth you created, on what I say became whole. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you are the God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You never know how much it costs to see my sin. Yeah.
Brought to us today by Helen.
Hello everyone, I'm glad to be back with you today properly for the first time on this, the second Sunday in Advent. This year we're going to look in Advent at some of the less studied parts of the Christmas story. Today some of us are back to meeting in the church building, others are remaining online at home. The opportunity of attending church is open, but not all are able to come. Part of our life has been restored, but with serious restrictions. Bear those thoughts in mind as we approach our story today. The feeling of having taken a step in the right direction, but being severely lacking in the fullness that we hope for. The Israelites are living in their own land, or at least have the opportunity to do so. Some families never returned from the exile. Some are scattered around the neighbouring countries. Presumably some people are happier about that than others. Many would have had a dream of returning to Israel, their true home, at some point. For those who are living in Israel, their lives are lived under government restrictions, Roman rule, Roman taxation, Roman life, including being surrounded by those who worshipped Roman gods and doubtless resented them for not doing so. They were privileged, they were allowed freedom, they were allowed to continue their Jewish worship, but always they were at the mercy of governmental decisions and foreign surroundings. So in this place where they experienced the blessing of a kind of nation, but the restrictions of Roman rule, they waited, just as we wait today, for the government to relent, for the enemy, be it Roman or viral, to be defeated, for a way to be found for a return to the fullness of life. And just what they thought they were waiting for would depend on their attitude. The thoughts of the Jews, like those of people around us today, have never been entirely united. There was no one single understanding of what was happening or what was going to happen. There would have been some who thought that God's promises of redemption had been fulfilled in the return from exile several hundred years earlier, and the current situation had to be put up with, made the best of. Some would even work with the Romans to do this. On the other hand, there were some who expected a new king to arise in the tradition of the judges, to fight off their enemies and get their land back by force. Some doubtless expected that God's special person, the Messiah, would come at some vague time in the future. But in the meantime, food had to be earned and families raised. Life goes on. God would understand. But others waited and watched, looking for a new Moses, a new Exodus to lead them out of their slavery to the Romans and restore their identity, looking for a new David to unite them in a just and kingly reign, looking for a new Elijah to call them back to God. What are you waiting for? In terms of the current situation, do you feel that what we have now is as good as it's going to get and we just have to live with it and make the best of it? Are you waiting or even fighting, as some of the Jews did, to get the government to back off and give us our freedoms back? Are you just trying to get through it in the hopes that some vague time in the future COVID will go away? Are you pinning your hopes on a vaccine? Are you watching the news day by day, researching the statistics and the rules, excited at every breakthrough and eager to do anything you can to make it happen? That's the physical setting of our story. Advent is a time of waiting. And just as we wait for relief from our situation with a number of different feelings and responses, the Jews waited for their relief. The story we read earlier comes obviously after the birth of Jesus, but it's set in a pre-Jesus context, in an Advent context. As Mary and Joseph enter the temple with the baby Jesus, only a handful of shepherds and a few folk who listened to them that night know anything special has happened. Remember, as far as the majority of the world are concerned at this point, Jesus has not yet come. The massive moment in our calendar would have completely passed them by. They're still stuck in Advent, still waiting. And in all the diversity of those waiting people, some resigned, some hopeful, some uncertain, some in eager anticipation, the Bible hones in on two individuals. Two individuals who know where their hope lies. Two individuals who are not just vaguely hoping or biding their time while getting on with their lives, not just wishing for someone, anyone to come and help, but knowing their hope and actively waiting. That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? How can you be actively waiting? Well, let's look at Simeon. Righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was guided by the Holy Spirit, who had told him that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. He didn't just sit at home and say, well, that's okay then. He actively stayed close to God. He watched his behaviour, his lifestyle, his relationship with the Father. He listened and obeyed the Spirit's call. And when Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple, Simeon was ready with a blessing and a prophecy. What about Anna? She was a widow. She lived in the temple and spent her life in worship, praying and fasting. She too was ready when Jesus came. Not waiting for God to come where she was, but going to where she knew she would meet with God and watching out for him. As Mary and Joseph came into the temple in Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices to God for their son, they found these two prophets waiting. And because they've been actively waiting, because they're looking out for this move of God, because they're listening to the Spirit of God, they recognise Jesus for who he is. In a poor couple with a newborn baby, one of the hundreds going in and out of the temple, in all the noise and hustle and bustle around them, they hear the voice of God as clearly as the disciples later did at the Transfiguration. This is my son. And they alone know what that means. More than the disciples, more even than Mary, salvation, revelation, glory, redemption, but opposition and pain too. I love those words of Simeon. Master, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My time of watching is over. This is the one I've been waiting for. You have done what you have promised. I want nothing more from a lifetime of following you, because you have shown me Jesus. These two faithful prophets had their reward for a lifetime of patient and active waiting. And as we too are waiting, we are called to wait actively. To work for the economy by supporting small businesses, to educate ourselves on the time and seasons and what's going on, to care for one another in hardship, to keep ourselves and each other safe by following the rules, and to pray. But there's more to waiting than just relief from COVID. As we live on earth, we've experienced something of the love of God. We're no longer exiled from him. But we live in this world ruled by foreign powers. Our lives are beset by trouble and darkness and sin. Where is our hope? Where is our salvation? What is it you're waiting for? Are you trusting in yourself to bring yourself out of darkness by willpower? Are you muddling through in the hope that it all works out in the end? Or are you waiting for the work of God that he has promised? When Simeon saw Jesus, he saw the salvation of God. Our salvation came into the world with Christ in that manger, and it was achieved at the cross. But that salvation, just because it happened 2,000 years ago, is not automatically given to us. Like that vaccine, when it arrives, it's available to us, but we have to accept it to appropriate it to ourselves. And like a vaccine, as it begins to work within us, we can experience symptoms of the very evil we were hoping to be saved from. Scientists will tell you that's a part of the process of vaccination. Ministers will tell you that's a part of the process of salvation. Because today we are still waiting. The saying goes that we have been saved by Christ's action on the cross. We are being saved by his work in our lives today. But also we will be saved on the day of his final return. The work of God is now but not yet. It's begun, it will be completed. But in the meantime, we wait. And we wait actively. This is not a far-off dream that may or may not happen. This is not a fictional story to prevent us from accepting life now. This is not something that we can make happen by force. This is a promise of God that is to be held and yet to be worked for. As Simeon and Anna were not just waiting but ready for the appearance of the baby Jesus in the temple that day, we are called to be ready for his return, to live lives of righteousness, of prayer, of worship, to be practiced in listening to the Spirit, so that when he calls us, we are ready to obey and to recognize him at work. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, these were people living in Advent. They hadn't celebrated Christmas. They didn't know the Saviour had been born. Yet there he was in the temple in front of them. How glad they must have been that they were ready. And Jesus says the same. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Over and over again, by parables and teachings, Jesus tells his disciples, in the middle of ordinary life, on an ordinary day, I will come back. Be ready. As we wait this Advent, we're not just preparing for Christmas. We too are waiting for our salvation, for the coming of God to earth, to finally rid the world of sin and darkness and create it anew. We don't know when that will come, but that salvation is promised, a sure and certain hope, a hope to hold on to throughout the trouble and darkness, whatever enemies and difficulties we face, but a hope to change us now, to change our actions as we look forward to it. A preparation more important than wrapping the presents and getting the turkey. So this Christmas, may we prepare our lives and our hearts for the coming of Jesus. We'll look in the newsletter each week at the spiritual disciplines which help us to do this. But we remember that in this preparation, we're not alone. God himself, the one for whom we are waiting, works with us to prepare us for and by his Spirit. As we worship, as we pray, as we follow him ever closer, we're preparing and being prepared to meet him whenever and wherever that may be. Let's pray together. Father God, would you fill us with your Spirit and lead us day by day to walk in your ways and to recognise the times and places where you are at work. Give us a desire for your kingdom, for your righteousness, for your presence, for your Spirit. Lord, as we wait for you to return and restore all things, would you work in our lives to prepare us for your coming? We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, our hope and our salvation. Amen. We sing together, O come, Emmanuel.
going to have a short time of prayer. And I will leave some small gaps in between so that you can lift before you anybody that you know of or anybody that's on your heart to include in the prayers. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who have been bereaved recently or for those that have lost somebody who's gone missing. Lord, they're both great losses, and just pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will be upon these people. Bring them comfort in their time of distress, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray for anybody who's suffering from any illness, Lord. We know several people who have things wrong with them, particularly cancer, which is a terrible disease, Lord. So I just pray that you'll be with these people. Your healing hands will be upon them and upon their family, Lord, who have to cope with the situation. And any other illnesses that the people will have, that you will heal them quickly and they'll be back on their feet soon. In particular, we pray for the COVID virus. Lord, we just pray that you will put an end to this pandemic, Lord. Lord, we pray for the people who are affected by it, as there's so many now that have been, and particularly those that are close to heart. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon the family of each of these people and upon them, that the power of your healing will heal, will touch, will give peace and comfort to those who are suffering, Lord. We also pray for the doctors and nurses who actually are dealing with this, Lord, and pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon them, give them wisdom and authority to be able to deal with all that they're going on, give them patience and understanding, Lord, and strength. We pray for our covenant, Lord, that you'll give them wisdom to deal with all aspects of what's going on in our country. There's so many things to be sorted out, Lord. We just pray for your wisdom to touch the lives of the people, to speak to the politicians, Lord, that they will make the right decisions, the decisions you want them to make. And we pray for the countries of the world that are suffering conflict. Lord, bring peace to your world. Touch the hearts of the people who are constantly wanting to fight, Lord. And take away the greed, the anger, the evilness, and bring peace, and bring your love and comfort, Lord, so that peace will be upon this earth. We pray for other countries that are suffering badly with the COVID, places like India, where they have very little resources to fight it, Lord. And a lot of the African countries have an either. So, Lord, we really pray again for an end to this pandemic, that in this world your name will be glorified. Heavenly Father, we ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus, for your power. Amen. Our final hymn today is Come Thy Long Expected Jesus.
Oh.
And we will end this meeting by sharing the Lord's Prayer that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now may we say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and for evermore. Amen. And we look forward to seeing you all on the Zoom at Potts Meet 11:15 today.